It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night on a Wednesday right here on 101.3 ESPN. We go up until 6:30, and then it's Catamount Basketball Senior Night in Catamount Country. They take on Binghamton. Sam Hyman will be on the call. Cats look to avenge. It's not often we say that. Look to avenge a loss. Now 22-6. They fell by 1 point against Hartford on Sunday. Coming up today, we're just a couple of minutes away from Chris Dury. He'll join us, Plattsburgh State men's baseball coach. And look, we'll talk about baseball, but this conversation is much deeper than baseball. And really, it's a conversation that you're going to want to hear. It's a conversation that involves a community event, involves some community support and a community need. So we'll have some fun talking with Coach Dury about his team, but also we will have that really heartwarming story involving Plattsburgh State baseball and how they need your help this Friday. So we'll talk with Chris Dury in just a matter of moments. But first, let's talk about Dave Dombrowski, the president of baseball operations for the Boston Red Sox. They got their man. They got their guy in J.D. Martinez, and people are pumped about it. And I've seen people now thinking, well, can this change the perception that we've had of Dave Dombrowski? And some people have had a negative one, and I think I've been one of those people. I feel more sure about Dave Dombrowski's placement in my mind than I ever have before. The Red Sox need to win the World Series, and they need to win it ASAP for Dombrowski to be a success, because the Red Sox have traded away nearly every viable prospect that they've had over the last few years. Okay, now they brought up some of those prospects, and a lot of them were drafted. They were all drafted pre-Dave Dombrowski. Devers, Betts, Benintendi, Bradley, Bogarts. The Red Sox have had good prospects, and he didn't touch those major league ready guys. But he traded away prospects to get Craig Kimbrell. He traded away prospects to get Tyler Thornburg. He traded away prospects to get Chris Sale. He's invested a lot of money in David Price. He's invested a lot of money in J.D. Martinez. This is a team that is hamstrung now to make another move. They don't have prospects. You look at what the Yankees have done. The Yankees got Giancarlo Stanton. The Yankees got Brandon Drury yesterday. The Yankees didn't do that by being the Yankees of old and outbidding everybody. The Yankees did that because they had the prospect capital to go make moves like that, to go get Sonny Gray. They didn't trade, or they didn't sign Sonny Gray and price everybody out of the market. They traded for him because they had the prospects to do that. And they spent a long time prioritizing their farm system and valuing their farm system to the point where their farm system became viable enough to help them for themselves, in the form of Luis Severino, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, and in the form of being able to trade for players. The Red Sox don't have that ability. And right now we look at the Red Sox and say they're a really good team. And if they win the World Series, then fine. But if they don't, you know who they're going to end up being? The Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers are the last team that Dave Dombrowski worked with. And you know what the Detroit Tigers were? A really good team that we thought about every year being in contention for the World Series. And why? Well, they had Justin Verlander, and they had Max Scherzer at one point, and they had Miguel Cabrera, and they had J.D. Martinez, and they had Victor Martinez. The Detroit Tigers were really good, and they never won the World Series. And what are the Tigers now? They're a mess. We're looking at a 70-win team this year in Detroit. Verlander traded. Scherzer gone. Cabrera aging and injured. Martinez aging and injured. Jordan Zimmermann can't throw 92 miles an hour anymore. ERA of like 5.5 last season almost. Gave up the most earned runs in baseball. A big money guy that Dombrowski signed. If you don't win the World Series, I don't know if it'll get as bad as it is in Detroit, but that's what it looks like. When you don't have a farm system, when you trade away all your assets to go all in like they did in Detroit, that's what it looks like at the end when it doesn't work. And that's what we don't want the Red Sox to end up looking like. The Kansas City Royals have lost a lot from their World Series team, a World Series which they won. No Eric Hosmer, no Mike Moustakas, no Lorenzo Cain. They look a lot different. The Royals are going through a similar rebuild to the Tigers. You can stomach that because they won a World Series if you're a Royals fan. Again, I don't know that it's ever going to get as bad in, for the Red Sox as it is in Detroit. But if you don't win, that's what it can look like. Worst case scenario, Price, old and aging, injured. Pedroia, old, aging, injured. Betts, Bradley, Benintendi, you can't keep them all. Then you massively pay one or two of them, and then you don't know what they look like at the end of their contracts. And Sale, what does he look like if you pay him? And if you lose him in free agency, then you traded Moncada for nothing because you didn't win a World Series. Think about that. You can't evaluate Dave Dombrowski's tenure in Boston until you see if this core wins a World Series. But I'm telling you that they need to win a World Series for it to be all justified. Because if they don't, it has the potential to look like the Tigers look. And where I'm sitting, what the Tigers look like is not a position that any Red Sox fan should want to be in. Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. If you want to get in on the Town Fair Tire text line, you can at 802-655-6672. But first, I want to go out to the phone line and talk with a guy who I've gotten to know. You know, I've seen a bunch over my, I'd say the last 10 years since I was playing college baseball at Oswego. Let's go out to the phone line. Plattsburgh men's baseball coach Chris Dorey. He is with us now on the phones. Coach Dorey, thank you for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing great, Brady. I'm doing great.
And Coach Dorey, I played against you when I was at Oswego. I have to say that Plattsburgh gave me two of the more, two of my most interesting baseball memories of college. First and foremost, do you remember the triple header that we played against you guys at your field in what was, I think, my junior season? I mean, 12 hours of baseball.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that. I did a little research on you yesterday myself, so I wanted to make sure I was seeing things correctly. And, you know, that season was a tough season. We did play three games that day. It was Coach Paino's last game, I believe.
And you played, you beat us all three games.
Yeah, it was a good day for Plattsburgh. You caught us at the tail end of a good run where we had a pretty good group of guys.
The other one, which is going to be less known to you, but I'll never forget, is I'm going to sound old like back in my day. But back in my day when you actually had to throw the intentional walk pitches, my freshman season at Chip Cummings Field was the first time I ever actually had to intentionally walk somebody. I've never been more terrified.
Yeah, you know, I remember that game, too, because it was, I think it was a senior day for us, and we almost blew it in the bottom of the, or the top of the ninth.
Yeah, that was probably, well, you got a better memory than I that it was senior day, it was at the end of the season, I think it was
the last run that we scored shouldn't have counted, the kid forgot to tag up.
Well, you know what, that was typical of my time at Oswego. How did they get so good after I left, by the way? I hope these two things aren't correlated.
Yeah, if they are, I want you to come back because we can't beat them since you left. You know, Coach Landers does a great job there. They've got a great group of guys, and it's fun to see. They're extremely competitive for sure.
You know, it's hard to believe, but we're only 2 weeks away from the start of your season. You guys are supposed to open up on March 3rd. You're going to take on Baruch College down in the, you know, Poughkeepsie, New York City-ish area. You guys actually get to play that game because of this weather.
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, we wish we had turf that we could play on right now in upstate New York because we could probably get out there and play a game. I know everybody else in the league is about to start. I think everybody starts this weekend, and we're a week behind. But it's exciting. You know, the guys are chomping at the bit. We've been inside practicing for 6 weeks, and we're ready to go.
Tell us about your team a little bit as we head into this season. A tough year last year. You finished 13-23, struggled in the SUNYAC Conference. But, look, if I know Plattsburgh, your team can always hit. So tell me about this team.
Well, we're pretty excited right now. You know, you bring up last year, we went 13-23. I think we went 6-12 in the league. You know, eight of those losses in the league play were by one run. So, you know, we started six freshmen on every single game for the most part, and we're pretty excited about their growth. And they got their feet wet last year, and hopefully we can move forward a little bit more. We added a couple more pieces. You know, our number one pitcher, Patrick Bryan, is one of the top Division III draft prospects right now. So we're pretty excited about this year and the group of kids that we have. And, you know, I appreciate the comment that we can always hit, but, boy, we can't hit like we did in 2009 and in 2010, that's for sure.
Well, again, maybe they're correlated. When I was pitching, you were able to hit.
No, you had a lot of errors behind you. I saw that.
Yeah, you know what? You did do your homework, Coach, because you're preaching to the choir on that one. You mentioned Patrick Bryan. We had him on last year. He was on that D3 draft prospect watch list. Just how good is he? Because he's a guy who's not just a pitcher. He also helps you with the bat too.
Yeah, Patrick is a two-way guy for us. He'll play a little bit of first base, but he'll mostly DH for us when he's not pitching. You know, on the mound, Patrick is awesome. You know, he's just a guy, he's a little bit of effort guy that can throw, you know, in the upper 80s, and then when he needs to, he can really hump it up once in a while. But, you know, his work ethic is really what impresses me the most. There is not a guy on our team that works harder than Patrick Bryant. And Patrick, you know, we've had players in the past that were as talented as Patrick Bryant, but didn't work like Patrick. And Patrick is just a guy that, he wants to do every single thing that he can to make himself better, and he wants his teammates to make themselves better. So it's great to have a guy that leads by example and not just living off of the accolades that he has. So it's refreshing to our kids.
Chris Dury, Plattsburgh baseball coach, with us here on Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Look, if you've listened to the show at all this week, I have been nothing but infuriated about, I would say, half of the Major League Baseball pace of play rules. Has any of that infiltrated the college game recently?
You know, there are some things that we deal with every year. You know, we have the time in between innings where we have to sprint on and off the field. I think it's 90 seconds between the last out and the first pitch. I believe they'll get rid of the intentional walk will be gone at some point. We'll just be able to tell somebody to go to first base, which you probably would appreciate.
Yes.
You know, but other than that, we just try to keep them moving. You know, none of us are really dictated by the television schedule or anything like that. I think the biggest change recently has been the bats. You know, when you played, we had the good bats, you know, where you could score a lot more runs. But pitching nowadays is probably a little bit easier. The bats aren't as offensively powered, let's say.
Yeah, those BB core bats, those did wonders for my senior year. I remember that.
Yeah.
I got to ask you about an unfortunate circumstance for the Plattsburgh program this offseason. Chip Cummings, a lot of people know the field at Plattsburgh is named after Chip Cummings. He played at Plattsburgh back in the 50s. He unfortunately passed away this offseason in December, if I'm not mistaken. Tell me about your relationship with him and what he meant to the program overall.
Mr. Cummings is, you know, he was a savior to the program. You know, we had baseball from 1947 until 1976, and then it disappeared with some budget cuts in the state budget in the late 70s. And Mr. Cummings was always an advocate for adding baseball, and luckily for me, gave me an opportunity to come back to my roots here in the North Country when he donated a generous amount of money to start the baseball program, and then generated some more to get the program and the field going. And Mr. Cummings was just an unbelievable supporter of baseball, but just an unbelievable supporter of the college in general. And you know, it was sad to see him go. He had been fighting some health issues, but I don't know if there's a bigger Cardinal fan out there in the world than Mr. Cummings was. And they were, at the beginning of the program, he would wear his Cardinals uniform and be in the dugout and coaching. I had him coaching first base the first year we had a team. So, you know, he definitely loved his Plattsburgh State baseball.
You know, Coach, we've had some laughs about, you know, me playing against Plattsburgh and some of the guys that I got to play against on your team that were really, really good. One of the guys that I never got to play against, but I should have been able to play against, I should have crossed paths with, was a catcher you guys had at one point by the name of Brian Meehan, and who didn't get to reach his full potential in Plattsburgh. He was diagnosed with cancer, and he unfortunately passed away just a few years ago. Coming up this week on the 23rd, which is at this point now, today's Wednesday, so that's Friday, from noon to 3, you guys are trying to collect bone marrow swabs, and you're doing that at the college. Tell us a little bit about Brian Meehan and what you guys are trying to do.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity. You know, Brian was a local kid, you know, from Plattsburgh, was a very successful high school baseball player and Legion baseball player in the area, and we were excited to get him to come to Plattsburgh. He had had some other opportunities. You know, he was considering St. Rose. He had talked to Cortland. So he was that type of player. So for him to decide to stay home and to come play for us, we were excited at that point where we were building the program, and I thought he was going to be a building block for us. You know, Brian played a little bit as a freshman for us. He was sitting behind an all-conference catcher at the time. And going into his junior year, or sophomore year, we had penciled him in to be our starting catcher. And over the summer, between his freshman and sophomore years, he just felt really fatigued and tired, and went to the doctor, and they found out that he had cancer. So came back for a little bit of a sophomore year school-wise, but not baseball-wise. And then after a year of battling, doctors gave him a clean bill of health, so he came back for that fall. The fall of 07, and right before the end of our fall season in 2007, I'm sitting at the desk that I'm at right now, and he came into the office, and I knew it wasn't good. And Brian came in and told me that he had gone to the doctor the day before, and even though he was smiling, I knew it wasn't going to be good, and he just said, "Coach, they said my cancer's back, and I can't play anymore." And I said, "Well, what do you want to do?" And Brian said, "I just want to play one more day." So we arranged for the equipment manager at the time to let Brian wear his uniform to practice that day. And Brian went out and played. And that was the end of his baseball career, per se. And he started doing the treatments and was slated to do a bone marrow transplant over at Dartmouth-Hitchcock. And when the doctors began the surgery, the cancer had spread so much that they told Brian he had probably about 10 days to live. And unfortunately, on the 10th day, Brian passed away. So one of his teammates on that team, Joey Painter, wanted to find a way to honor Brian's memory. And what we decided to do was a Be the Match event on campus. And we started that, I think, in 2011. And the first one was so successful that we decided to do it again and again and again, and here we are. I think it's our seventh or eighth time that we're doing it. And, you know, all we ask is that people show up and they come in and they do a swab of each corner of their cheeks. And it takes about 15 to 20 seconds to do, and hopefully we can find some matches. So we've had a match, at least a match, every single year that we've done the event. And of last year's event, we had one player from Canton who was our opponent that night that is a match, and we had two players that were on our team last year that were a match. So we've had people save lives, and that's really the ultimate goal, and I think it's just kind of Brian's way of saying thank you, you know, and moving on, because that's just the type of kid that Brian was.
So we're looking for people to come out Friday, noon to 3. Where is this on campus, Coach?
All right, we do it right in the Angel College Center, which is basically the student union in the middle of campus in the alumni conference room.
All right, Coach Dury from Plattsburgh State Baseball. The season starts March 3rd, but right now it's about more than games. The 7th annual Brian Meehan Be the Match Bone Marrow Swab Drive at Plattsburgh. Again, Friday, noon to 3. Coach, we appreciate the time. We appreciate you making us aware of the cause, and we wish you guys nothing but success this season.
Thanks a lot, Brady. I appreciate everything, man.
Appreciate you coming on as well. Again, Chris Dury with us here. And look, it's a tough... You know, it's a tough story to hear, because you could hear it in Coach Dury's voice kind of getting broken up about Brian Meehan, and here we are, we're talking about, you know, a decade later, you know, a decade after the fact that he was brought into campus, and I'm sure a lot of people from other side of the lake remember Brian probably as that stud high school prospect, and we're excited about the idea of him going to Plattsburgh. So it's a tough story to hear. It was a tough story to read when I read about Brian Meehan's story, and it was, you know, brought to my attention. And look, everything we can. If you're over there in Plattsburgh, if you're over there on the New York side of the lake, then Friday, noon to 3, Campus Center, that's where you want to be. And if you were inclined in Vermont as well, we know the Plattsburgh State program would be appreciative. So we appreciate Coach Dory's time. And, man, he did a lot of research to know about me. But I can't believe he remembered, my freshman year. He's right. They had an illegitimate run and therefore an illegitimate win over us. And that would have been my win that I would have gotten, because I was the last. I'm trying to remember. I was not the pitcher of record in the game. I was 4-0 my freshman year, so I would not have taken a loss. But he had, that was pretty good. Pretty good. He remembered that one from the spring of 2009. So, and I do look forward to going out to Plattsburgh this year to see an Oswego play. One real quick note on baseball also, I read Andrew Benintendi and Alex Cora were talking about slumps, and Benintendi went through a couple of them last year, had a couple of 0 for 20s last season, and was a streaky hitter, ended up hitting 270, but like I said, did go through some of those negative streaks, and Alex Cora and him were talking about approach and identifying streaks before they have, or identifying slumps before they happen, etc. I thought it was really interesting. And really the key for me, when a guy is going through a slump, you can just tell that his approach at the plate has just gone straight to hell. When a guy who is really, really slumping, they get over anxious at the plate and you start swinging at everything because you're so cognizant that you're struggling and you're so aware that you want to get a hit, that you just start doing things that are atypical of you when you're having success. And that involves, like I said, swinging outside the zone, swinging at a first pitch curveball, chasing that curveball in the dirt, looking at that pitch, that fastball that's just off the plate and swinging at it because, oh, I finally got a fastball, and then not knowing exactly what to do with it. I remember, think about it this way. I mean, for those of you who didn't play baseball, you could probably relate to this one. If I was going to play a baseball video game for like 3 hours, by the end of that 3 hours, I would get kind of tired of it. My brain would kind of turn to mush. And what happens is that when I'm playing a baseball video game and I'm playing well, I'm actually able to take pitches and actually have an approach even in a video game. But by the end of that 3 hours, I'm like, all right, it's the fourth inning. I really just want to be done. I'm going to start swinging at everything. And all of a sudden you look at it and I haven't gotten a hit for six innings because I've literally swung at every single pitch that's been thrown. That is kind of what it's like in real life also. When hitters are going through slumps, it's over-aggressive. It's just, okay, I got to get a hit. I got to get a hit. And in order to get a hit, I got to swing. And that's what you start to see with guys at the big league level. If you notice a guy, you see the graphic on TV, and he said, and the commentator says, well, Benintendi's 0 for his last 18. Look and see what they do. Look and see if they're swinging at the first pitch more often. Look and see if they're swinging at the balls in the dirt more often. Look and see if they're chasing more pitches. If they're looking at, you know, if they're confused, they're looking at fastballs. They're swinging at curveballs because they're guessing. That's what happens when a guy goes through a slump. I thought it was interesting to hear Benintendi and Cora talk about plate discipline being a major key to busting out of a slump. All right, that'll do it for us here on Champlain Valley Game Night. UVM basketball is next. Catamounts taking on Binghamton. Remember, tonight over on 960, 11 o'clock, we'll have coverage. Amanda Pelkey, Team USA, going for gold tonight as they take on Team Canada, looking to break the five-game losing streak. Coming up tomorrow, good local story. Essex High School product, Brandon Gleason. He went from Essex High School to being one of the best college lacrosse players in the nation. That's tomorrow on The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.